Now, this is kind of the whole point of the talk, and I'm like an hour in, I'm just getting to it. I've put a couple laws up here, and I say laws, but the talk about indigenous laws raises all kinds of issues, and I can't get into it at this point, but I have to note that I do recognize the notion of laws and cognizability and what constitutes a law and how it's understood and how it's intelligible to the Western justice system. That's tough stuff. The point is, I think these are short terms. Well, all of these should be conceptualized in short, medium, and long term time frames. All of these are types of indigenous law that I think could work. And I'm gonna end with this and then I'm gonna call you guys out. So I'm gonna go through each of these and try and apply them to the issue and try and apply them to what's going on in Treaty 8 and just give some examples and ideas. But, you know, I was really sick this week and I've been having a hard time just trying to wrap my head around this. So forgive me if it doesn't make perfect sense and if there's some issues. This is a work in progress very much so. But I'm trying my best to do honor to what I was taught and honor to the subject at hand. So I'm trying. Duty to learn. It was really interesting. We were at the CLE conference. A couple people in this room were at that CLE conference. And Chief Justice Finch put this paper and this talk forward. And he said that we in the legal profession have a duty to learn. It's not just a duty to consult and accommodate. We have a duty to learn other indigenous legal traditions. And he did so for very interesting reasons. And what I found really cool, aside from the fact that a sitting high-ranking judge called out the entire legal profession saying you have to step up to the plate and recognize that you have an obligation to not actively sit back in your own safe place, but prepare to engage with the unknown in the face of what it might offer all of us. I mean, aside from that being a very beautiful and very brave expression, he did something, and the way he put it was analogous to what I saw in my history. So he said we need respect and receptivity to address some of the issues with learning new things. And he said that we have to prepare to enter truly unknown landscapes, legal, ethical, and cultural. Now, that's an interesting idea. That's an interesting type of law. What I was taught when I was a kid and I was hunting and I was learning to skin in particular, because we're trapping people where I'm from, is that we had to have respect in a very similar way. We had to be truly understood, and this is a phrase my mom told me from my grandfather, you don't know what you don't know, and there's a lot of wisdom embedded in that because you truly have no conception of what you might not know. So to begin to engage with the unknown is almost an epiphany-causing experience by very definition, because you don't know, you have no idea, but to know that you don't know what you don't know is a step in the right direction. And there's an interesting point. This is from the Dene side, and I'm going to share this with you. Actually, Dene's other side too. We're not taught so much as reminded. And the reason is that we carry it within us. We carry the knowledge inside of us. You know, I wasn't taught how to hunt. I was reminded by watching. Now, I think a lot of people would have a hard time believing that they're being reminded how to learn other legal traditions. That's pretty complex stuff. But we all are easily reminded in our moments of intimacy with, well, that's the wrong word, our moments of closeness with nature. Yeah, right? There's like some mental images there. Oh, no. Okay, let me rephrase. We are all reminded by the grandeur of nature and our insignificance. That's the reminder. The reminder is that we are small and the world is great and bigger than us. And I think that's a consistency. You know, my reminding and my reminding nature was more in sort of like how do you take apart, you know, a marten and get it ready for sale. And that's more of a practical reminder, but at the same time, there's a simple truth that we held it within us. And the very simple truth, the base truth of what we're doing in my territory and other territories, unconventional energy development has a great risk. It doesn't really need to be taught. You just need to be reminded. And I think that's a beautiful idea. I think that's an ethos that can manifest in a lot of different ways. I think it could take different expressions, both legally and in soft law, and just your thinking and theory and philosophizing, academic research, whatever. But it's short, it's easy. I'm hoping some of it happens right now. And that's why I want to share that with you as an idea for the expression of law. Another side of this is a bit of a larger term, longer term vision. Stewardship, guardianship, and what they call kaitiaki. Kaitiaki is a Maori word, the law of guardianship, kaitiakitanga. Relates to my experiences in New Zealand and what I was taught there about how to be a person of mana, of stature, to have significance on this side and the other world, you have to take care of your land. That's one of the bases of your power. That's the base of one of the bases of your authority on this earth, is your ability to maintain your land. Now, what would that look like if it was deployed? What would those ideas look like if they were deployed? Because they definitely have them in the Dene and Dinosaur cultures as well. What would that mean? Now, I was thinking about the laws of hunting. Now, when we hunt, our respect isn't evidenced through the words that we say. It's evidenced through the skill with which we hunt. It's evidenced through the placement of our bullets. It's evidenced through how we take care of our tools. It's evidenced through the ceremony we undertake before and after. It's respect, not of word, but of action. And I think that's a legal principle, that words are meaningless. And words are very meaningless when you think about the commonalities of conflict in our territory. If there's no credibility, actions speak louder than words. If there's uncertainty, action in the face of uncertainty rather than complacency means a lot more. And that's how I see these laws applying. Sanction through physical and non-physical consequences. When hunting, there's physical consequences to be sure if you mess up, both for the quarry and for yourself in some cases. But equally important in our traditions is non-physical consequences. And the corollary and the point I want to put forward here is the issue of regulatory capture and how to incentivize or disincentivize people who have to regulate the industry. I don't think you can say to a regulator, you know, we might sanction you for conflict of interest someday. I think people have to have an ethos about them. They have to have an embedded belief and perspective on this stuff to truly engage with these questions. I think that's the only way to move forward with the really deep conflicts that we see. And the place I learned that lesson was when I shot a black bear when I was 15 years old, the same day I shot my first moose. Because it took me years to realize this, but when I killed that bear, I killed one of my brothers. It's a long story, but the consequences of that action are going to be felt by me throughout my life, but they won't manifest physically, I hope. And what I'll carry with me, because I shouldn't have killed that bear, I should have fed him a piece of my first moose and honored this bear, the starving young bear that came to like eat off my kill. It would have been a great thing to share with him, but I was too young and scared, so I killed him. I have consequences that are carried with me, but those consequences aren't physical. Again, I hope. And there's great power there. There's great beauty there, even though it's a negative thing. Because what that means is that our laws can still manifest absent written word, absent expression, absent the sanction of the state or my family or my nation. It is there just because it's there. Now imagine what that kind of power would look like if we were looking at how to regulate the oil and gas industry. What if the regulators had something equally compelling that directed them? Now some might argue they do, some might argue they don't. I don't know. From what I've seen, I would question very deeply. Despite the fact that there are good people out there, despite the fact that there are good people all over the place. From what I've seen just as a collective, I'm not so sure the heart beats strongly in some people. But I wonder if maybe we can make it do that by adopting these legal principles, by looking at ways to make it understood that there is consequences for these things. Ceremony, those more traditional ways of knowing, those are ways that might be used to help people understand the consequences and the notion of uncertainty and risk as we look at unconventional energy.